information is in the first few verses. We're in verse 4. Reread 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Again, where this word declared is such an important word. It's the base of the word for horizon, or separated, I mean. So there's this clear horizon. Horizo is the word. It's where we get horizon. It's the difference between earth and sky. It's totally a different phenomenon. And in no way involves an improvement or a fixing of the old environment. It's something that's totally new, that has no point of reference in the previous existence. They affect each other, but it's not in any way that we can use as the basis. But it's marked off the boundary, all that stuff. And he's declared with power. Now the word power is dunamis. It means this. If there's anything that you can be assured of, like if you plant a watermelon seed, you're going to get a watermelon seed, and you know all of that. I mean, you're going to get a watermelon. This is beyond that. It's an agency or a certainty that of his ability to do what God wants. There's no reference to any of our mind, any of our activities, any of our thoughts, any of our plans, any of our ambitions, any of our talents. He is declared with this certain, sure ability. And it has, and it can't be overemphasized. Declared the Son of God with power, according, or by the agency of, the Spirit of holiness. And the testimony of that is only the resurrection, by the resurrection of the dead. I mean, if you can encapsulate that to penetrate your being, it would be huge. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. Because we've been taught that the purpose... Well, let's look. We'll get there when we get there.
I made me think that same declaration has taken place in us.
That's the whole point of it, that we can't refer back to self. We can't. That's why the point of reference, it can no longer be any part of you. All right, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20, just one verse. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, the word for word is logos. The kingdom of God isn't even in the logos. It's in this power, this dunamis, this tested ability. I mean, the word, the logos, everything describes and declares it and tells us about it. It's used to find out whether we're being deceived. but it has nothing to do with us.
I have a question. In this discussion of power, you said many times that Jesus Christ incarnate did not possess some special power that made him different from us. He could have failed. Is that not right? There wasn't a test? The test wasn't real?
No, but the way you said that, you got to understand, as Son of Man, he was, he was a Son of Man. But he thought that the power that he possessed wasn't something to be grasped as Son of God. And that's a big difference. No, just it's
he could have failed, right? If not, then
well, according again, as we've talked about so often, I mean, if every breath that he took after the baptism, every aspect of him was given back to God, so that there is nothing about either his power, his abilities as Son of Man, and his power as Son of God did he exercise. So that's what has to be seen. It's not.
But he had the power.
But he didn't use it.
That's the humility, right?
That's the meaning of humility, the emptying. He always, again, the humility of God is mind-blowing because pours himself totally out. The humility of the Holy Spirit is mind-blowing because he only pours himself into the Son. And the humility of God is mind-blowing because he only pours himself, you know, he became flesh. And so our little attempts at being just become a joke. Because we are the antithesis of humility. Since Harry asked that question, there's a pallor in the room. It's Harry's fault.
Huh?
John is recovering from a trip. He went to visit his mother, huh? Well, let's go on. I don't pay attention to it. Let's go to the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, let's go to Luke 17. Verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Everything about the human being, again, and this is all goes back to this thing that he was manifest in the flesh, but he's only justified in the spirit. But everything about the human race, we want to do something that justifies us in the flesh. And that's what I was trying to talk to you about yesterday a little bit. We cannot be justified in the flesh just as he wasn't. He was manifest in the flesh, but justified in the spirit. And this is so critical because that's all we can do as humans is to try to justify ourselves in some way, by some point of reference. This is what's so awesome about reading, you know, all the Talmud and Midrash and the Zohar and all that. Because everything is justified not by power, but by a point of reference, a citing back to another rabbi. Now, this is why all these people wrote these books that attributed them to somebody else. In other words, they wrote the Gospel of Thomas, or the Gospel of, or the Gospel of Matthew, or the whatever, all of Mary, or the other, because, and they tried to give it importance by putting somebody's name on it that had some merit. And that's, we don't do that. That's called plagiarism if we do that. But what we do is we have to have a way we have to have some point of reference to justify a position or an act or a belief system. Am I communicating?
Slightly.
This is like the battlefield where the flesh is lusting against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. The flesh is always trying to find that point of justification when the spirit's trying to wipe it out, and until you see it, you're struggling with it.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to describe.
Yeah, it's very subtle.
Once it's seen, then when anybody does it, then it becomes a grating of everything. I mean, you can't stand it when you see somebody justifying themselves in the flesh or in any, you know. And so this is why this thing about the kingdom of God isn't in word, in logos, but in ability, in power. But the kingdom of God is in humility. So it's your humility that says if he doesn't do this without any of effort, without any considerations on my part, then I will die. That's the meaning of faith. But we have to try to do this in some way. Like I've been working in this last word for this homeless issue for some time. And what I've been doing is the Good Samaritan. You know, we saw this guy laying in I forgot who he was even right now. But anyway, he's laying there and he's all been beat up and he's robbers and he's blah. And all these people walk by him. But what was going on in those people's mind? Well, and I promise you, it was really good. Because I saw what I did, and it was really good. And so what you do is, well, my buddy was helped a guy like that, and it was just a ruse, because this was a street, this is a place where all these robbers are, and so they're going to jump on me. Or he's just a drug addict, and or whatever. What I did was, you remember about several years ago, I can't even remember when now, but I one weekend I went to all over Dallas, I drove around, and I stopped at 24 of these guys that have the ubiquitous will work for food or whatever. And I asked them, I offered them a place and meals and a job. And not one of them accepted. And so I've used that in my mind 1,000 times since then, and I've talked about it, so I'm sure other people have used it, because I've heard Pat Booth use it back to me. And so I become as evil as those guys, because I've tried to justify my own greed by saying I tried over there and those guys didn't do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, we do the same thing in every arena of our life. We try to have a point of justification so we have a place to stand. So we can be right. I did the best I can, but this came upon me. Well,
Justification indicates that there's some interest in the outcome.
Right.
Like the outcome of this defines me. My value as a person.
But it also defines, I mean, the justification gives you a reason for doing it or not doing it. In other words, there's some point of reference.
Justification, if it fails, I can blame it on somebody else. I become a victim if it fails.
Yeah, but it's deeper than that. That's what I'm saying. It's down to almost to the very it's one of these things that's down at the core of our being.
It's to feel right. It's justified means right. It's to feel that this flesh is okay.
The only thing that comes to mind right now is that if you're upset about something, you have a really good reason for being upset. That's what justification is. If you
about doing versus being, I think.
Well, the junction is even more is quicker than that. The reason I'm kind of spacey today because I haven't slept for almost 2 days. I mean, I've been up and down, and so. So that justifies me being the way, you know, I don't have the words still.
Well, when you're talking about reference in the kingdom, the reference is always to the king. Every reference is to the king. So if you have any other reference, you're not serving the king.
What are we talking about here?
We're talking about this is how you conduct your life without taking a stand. Because the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And what happens when you use a word instead of faith and his ability and his certainty, then you are trying to justify it in the word. That's why. Do you ever notice, like when you watch Jack Van Impe, when he talks, it's like everything is John 3:16 and Matthew 26:12, and he memorized the Bible is great, but it just gets so boring because everything he says has a scriptural justification. Now I'm not saying we shouldn't. If we are justified by the word, then we become literalists. Like Harry used to do, it's just right, that's all. Everybody knows it. Well, that's a justification by his own past experience. Or when somebody said, here, this is really good, You end up trying to spend your entire life justifying what you're doing or saying or being. And the kingdom of God doesn't have anything to do with that.
Something, I don't know where this fits in, but when we read this a minute ago, the kingdom of God is within you. It's like when we read, and the bus is also run on time, and the sun will probably come out tomorrow. It's like that is the biggest bomb, you know, the kingdom of God is within you, and this is where all this, the real stuff's taking place, and it's right in you. It's not up by observation, it's some power that, and it's this place I think we're talking about where our faith is justified by the Spirit, and it's an amazing place, and yet it just seems to skip over the water.
The only thing that comes to mind, this is a silly one, but do you all remember, anybody remember what the word kingdom is in Greek? We studied basilio. A long time ago. Basilio. And so, or basilica, if you're in the verb tense. But, and so, if we want to go to a holy place, you know, in many of us, we will go to St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, because that's obviously holy because it's a basilica. It's where the kingdom of God is. Well, for him to say the basilica is within you, then it takes a whole different... The kingdom is within you, the basilica or the basilia is within you. So that means, and it's only a basilia because it's Jesus, it's the resident place of Jesus Christ. And so that then trumps everything. It makes no place holy, but every place holy. It makes no action sanctified unless every action is sanctified. It makes... You understand what I'm saying? You can't have the basilica, you can't have the kingdom within you and have any more separation whatsoever or any need to justify. It's its own justification. The cliche used to be when I first became a believer, people were saying, the law told you to fly, but you tried, but then you couldn't, but the gospel flies. It doesn't need our help, it just does. And so this point, you know, if you talk for 5 minutes with anybody, you will find out how many times you make a reference to something with regard to how it's a movie, or it's how somebody else is acting, or it's what something happened to you when you were a child, or there's a jillion different references to something you read. Well, that referencing that we do so automatically is our it's what all of the Jewish, these incredible Jewish rabbis were doing when they said they couldn't just say something, they had to say it and have a reference point of somebody or something that was respected in the past. So. But if you just look at yourself, if you're going to examine this, see how many times in the course of an hour or 2 hours or 5 minutes probably, how many times that we reference back to some experience or something. We can't just be, we can't just say, we can't just... We reference it to a movie or an experience or something. Now, what your mind will say about that is, well, I think you can't ever talk, because that's all the conversation and speech is about this kind of... That's what speech is. Well, that's not what... That's why this is. The kingdom of God isn't in logos. It's in dunamis, in this thing that makes it sure that... But then we make it... It's, yeah, the kingdom of God is in power, but it's in power to get the thing I want to get done, or the thing that I'm asking for to happen, or the thing that I'm doing out on time. And so, or the kingdom of God is me having always plenty, or if you're going to go, what they're teaching now is you having more than plenty, so you can finance what God wants us to do. Well, all that is just baby talk. But so is the thing that we do, second by second, when our communication is referenced to something other than His sure ability. Is that communicating at all? I'm not. The only thing I can ask you to do is listen to yourself and see how often the reference, or and by definition, reference is a subtle attempt at justification. How many times the reference point is something other than dunamis, his sure ability? Does that help? Maybe we'll study. We're going to talk more about this.
What is not that?
Because
I'm almost with you.
Everything else is not that.
Well, I'm sorry. Give me an example of not that.
Not that?
Just thinking. What you said.
Well, the everything is an example of not that. But that's too broad.
It's like there's this town, and everyone in the town works in the library. And that's the only job in town is the library. So everyone wakes up and goes to the library and spends all day in the library. And that's all they ever do is... work in the library.
Can reference books?
Yes, can reference books.
Reference now, I'll give you an example of what it isn't. What it isn't is, I am upset because, I am nervous because,
That is
the because is the justification for sin.
Right.
But even in our second by second conversation, it's I promise you, if I can make somehow find the words to make you aware of what we do, that's all we do is justify.
It's the reason I asked that question is you alluded to it. It's the nature of language. It's how these things work is always compare and contrast. It's not this or like this or, I mean, it's how it works. It's almost the result of naming, of Adam naming things.
Yeah, but it is forbidden in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, I'm hearing you, but I don't know what. It's forbidden. What's left when that's not used?
Power.
Ability, his certainty, his. What do you talk about? Well, maybe nothing. What do you say? Well, maybe nothing.
That's kind of what I'm asking. I mean,
yeah, that's why.
How do you think?
You don't.
Because thinking is.
Everything is. That's why this. I'm convinced this is why this idea that there must be silence in the temple in Revelation.
This, to me, I just saw it. This is one of these subtle gods that we worship that we don't even know he's there. But it's what controls us. If we have to justify everything we say, we're serving this unseen entity that makes us okay, and it controls us. Because we can't speak unless we're justified, unless we have a good reference point, unless we can make sense.
Well, what the problem with talking about this stuff is that then you know it says confess your faults one to another, you might be healed. Well. What we hear that is, well, if you're going to pick on me, if I say something, then I'm not going to say anything. I'll show you. Well, that's like double justification in a negative way.
Now, this is if I pick up somebody else's thought or expression and put it forth as my own an hour later.
Well, that's...
I mean, we had a conversation here yesterday that comes to mind about Nancy Pelosi. I hate it because... Well, I think Nancy Pelosi this. So I heard this. And I've got my own things I've heard. Well, no, she didn't really ask for that airplane. This is just somebody. It's all referencing things that we've heard other people say. So I guess it's like, are we saying don't talk about Nancy Pelosi?
I'm not saying don't.
She's
it's
not here and is it real to us?
No, it's not a matter of. Don't do or not do anything. It's a matter of seeing that we can to see really what exhortation means, where it says exhort one another daily, what it is still called today, so that it doesn't stop you from speaking, but it permits exhortation instead of this, well, I'm going to wait until I get it right by whatever standard. The problem is with this stuff, there can never be a standard. So it's like you know. Well, I know if I do this, then I'll be accepted. No, if you do something to be accepted, then you'll never be accepted. Or it's so simple, but yet it's so subtle that we. I mean, it's almost to talk about it. Even is a way of subtly justifying it. It's at some point we just have to be. And the only way I can think about this is this that story I've told you all the time. Is this wonderful woman who became a believer and walked all the way from Alexandria all the way to the mountains in the Sinai Desert. I mean, you heard me. You know, I just talked about it the other day.
Just say number 42.
Yeah, but the point is, did you bring anything with you? Yes, go put it back. Well, that's really what exhortation is. Is there anything that are you justifying what you're speaking by any other thing other than him? Go put it back. I mean, that's what used to drive me crazy about Harry, and the reason Harry won't go with me anymore. It's because, oh, isn't that beautiful? It reminds me of Paris. Or isn't that beautiful because it reminds me of New Jersey? Well, that's exactly what the reference point is. And that's easy. That's why Harry was Clyde there. He's easy to see. That's what he does. What?
That's only one of many.
existence. One of many reasons for what?
For not going anywhere.
And that's why those homeless guys wouldn't come with you.
Harry has many reference points. That's the exhortation, though, is to be, not so you can be right, but to see what you are, and so you can repent. Because you're going to do this stuff, but if you don't, if you're not out there.
See, Harry, Gary is a good Clyde, and Harry is a bad Clyde. Because what Harry does is pouts. And you can see it, his countenance falls and everything. Gary just doesn't give a crap. He just goes ahead and said the silly stuff over and over again anyway.
That makes me good.
In fact, with Gary, we'd like a few more references.
Where are you coming from?
I think what Judy said was, whatever you think of to say, don't say.
that's your
she
wife.
Said you're not supposed to ever talk again.
That's what I mean.
Thank you.
Don't embarrass me.
Yeah.
You said the buses are going to run on time? I didn't know what you were talking about.
Oh, I knew that one. How about the kingdom of God is within you?
All right. Well, I'm sorry that I'm kind of spacy today. But
how come you haven't been able
But it's because you haven't slept.
Because every time I wake up, every time I turn over or there's something's in pain. And anyways, long story. I normally sleep wonderfully with a little assistance. Take a big guy. A little fifth of scotch.
Fifth of scotch, yeah.